Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. We're going to finish up the Advocate today. You'll remember in the first portion of this lecture that we read in that book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that we have an Advocate in the heavens. We have an Advocate with us wherever we go. And the Greek word parakletos actually means an intercessor or a counselor, a lawyer. And to have a lawyer in the heavens is a fantastic thing. And naturally, as we studied on, that counselor is the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit, the Son's Spirit, wherever those two together, there is the Holy Spirit. And with this, then we have that promise that he would come. That, and many people in depression or at bad times, they don't have the faith or belief, whichever the case may be, to turn to that Advocate when they've done all they can and allow him to take over, that is to say, to intercede, inasmuch as he is our intercessor. You can basically test yourself as to how much faith you have by your ability, when you've done all you can, to turn it over to him, to our Advocate, to the Holy Spirit, and allow the Father to work through this gift from God. Then you have the ability, if God so chooses, he can change people's minds. I've seen it happen many times in my lifetime. Really hard cases that God would simply touch them, or perhaps in a correcting way, or whatever the case, and it simply changed their ways and become a good citizen, and in many cases, a good Christian. So the Advocate can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We were never told in Scripture at any time that we had to be kind to Satan. Nowhere were we told this. And the Advocate is our protection from the evil one. You must remember also, in preparing and wearing the gospel armor, that this alleviates depression, anxiety, and worry. And however you may think of our Father, he is always fair. You know what is in your mind, and you will be judged by what is in your mind, what your intentions were, and so forth. Many sins that are done in ignorance are not counted as sins. In other words, if you didn't know the Scripture, if you didn't know the law, then in that sense, I suppose ignorance is a cloak of innocency, and that is biblical. So we had began in the 16th chapter when he said, at a time you're especially going to need that Advocate is when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, in the 16th chapter. And then he had told them that he was going away, that they would sorrow and so forth, but he promised that he would send the Comforter, and the Comforter he shall send. Okay, with that having been said, we had gotten to, I believe, the 12th verse in the 16th chapter of St. John. Let's pick it back up there with a word of wisdom from our Father as he promises this Advocate, as he promises this one that would come to us. Let's pick it up there and go with it. And it reads, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And when one is tender and a babe in Christ, a babe in the Word of God, then you're not able to understand all things. Many times this is why that many of you will study, and the next time we cover it, you'll see so much more of it. It isn't that the Scripture has changed, it's that your mind has been brought to remembrance, that you can remember those things. Now, verse 13, howbeit when he, that's to say the Comforter, the Spirit of truth is come, he, the Holy Spirit, our Counselor, will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Our advocate can open up the revelation for us. The advocate working within our mind, in as much as he is in us and we are in him, can open our mind and give us understanding in the simplicity in which Christ taught, whereby parables become so easy for us, because he brings that truth to us. And when you once see it, then you see the simplicity in which Christ taught. It's a little sad that man in his wisdom sometimes does nothing but muddy the water. But when we flow with his truth, then the clarity comes in both our mind and our eye. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. In other words, he will make it obvious to you. You will have eyes that you can see that Christ spoke even as he walked among us. And yet that Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us, and at the right moment and when we're ready, allowing us to see the whole picture. Verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Think about that statement a moment. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And we are not alone. That's one of the pictures I want you to draw from this, one of the facts, I should say. That's why the depression should have no place in your life, because we aren't alone. And with that Comforter, with that Counselor, with that Advocate, then we make a mighty team. We make a mighty team for what purpose? For the Lord, for our Father, who controls all things and turned that control over and put it under Yeshua, under Christ, the Anointed One. And then allowing the Holy Spirit to be that line of spirit communication between He and us, that we can see the truth. That then meditation and study, deep study, is not perchance. It's an act of God, that the very word and the touch of that Spirit glorifies God, because it reveals in your mind the truth. And what is the truth? Every word of God. When you document, you have to correct for man's translations, but every word of God. Verse 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. In other words, the crucifixion was about to take place, and he would return to the Father. He would then send that Comforter. We even know the days in Acts chapter 1. On the 40th day, he ascended back. Of course, he had ascended to him prior to this, but the last time we saw him, that little while, was 40 days. And then he took a seat at the right hand of God, and there became as the conduit, if you would, to the Holy Spirit, that as intercessor, right by God's side, Yeshua, and is an advocate there. Do you believe that? Then if you do, beloved, you should have no depression. Because even though there are times that you're in trouble, even though there are times that you're not too pleased with yourself, that you fall short, and you know you're wrong, then on repentance and forgiveness, you know that you have that forgiveness because he paid the price, and it is his right, legally, as nearest of kin, to be your redeemer, whereby even though you're having problems, you know you're going to win. Ultimately, it doesn't matter one way or the other. You're going to have the victory, and you'll have that victory in him, and that always glorifies him. Why? Because he's our Father, and he is in control. Many would choose to disbelieve that, and they are called unbelievers, be that as it may. Just make certain that you're not calling yourself a believer, and then not have the fullness, if you would, of faith, whereby you can understand this particular feeling from our Father. You know, it is strange how the Spirit works. I was working on a stone that a person sent a picture, the Vogum, and I was translating it. And it ultimately was a very deep message, and this person stated that he was being attacked by the poisonous arrows of Baal, which means Satan. For many years, the writing would have been quite old, but being attacked by the poisonous arrows of Baal, which you find that in Ephesians chapter 6, whereby you put the gospel armor on as what? Protection against the fiery darts of Satan. With the advocate, of course, making certain that no arrow gets through, that you always have the victory, though you may stumble at times, and though you may stagger, and though it may seem like you lost one round, then that's the time that your faith is really tested. So know that our Father's in control, and we always, always have that victory. My mind goes back to the 14th chapter of this great book, and we're going to turn back there, John chapter 14, St. John chapter 14. And you should all be familiar with this. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I go there to prepare. And of course, the mansion means, it's muni in the Greek. It means a dwelling place, or a resting place, better. And really, today you can partake of that resting place because of the peace that he sends us. The peace that he gives us, call it peace of mind if you must, but the sure and certain knowledge that with our advocate we can be at rest at any time because you have no need of being uptight. Why? He's our advocate. Okay, I want to pick it up, if I could, at the 11th verse. You all being familiar, it's much as we covered in that 16th chapter, that he would be leaving soon, but that we would see him again, and preparing them for that time, and again, making the promise of our advocate. There's something here I feel is very important that we need to cover. So, chapter 14, St. John, verse 11, and it reads, believe me, that's important, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. If you see the Son, you see the Father, all right? Or else believe me for the very works' sake. In other words, you have observed me performing miracles, Christ states to them. If for no other reason, believe me for that purpose, for that reason. I mean, the laying healed and so forth, the 4,000 fed with such a the of food that a small boy was carrying. Verse 12, verily, verily, this is truly, I say unto you, he that believeth, again, so important, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In other words, he was going to the Father, he was going to take that seat at the right hand of God, and he would become our advocate, knowing and assuring that great things would be done. In other words, Christ circled in a small community compared to what we can today. As you see the miracle, one person in Gravett, Arkansas, because of satellite, can go around the world carrying the good news. In other words, when he means greater works, what is the work? Well, it's not digging ditches, though that's an honorable profession. It's not engineering or anything else. It's teaching God's word, doing God's word. These words, with the unction and the presence of that Holy Spirit, gifted from God, that the word could go forth. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, here comes the advocate, that's what you ask your intercessor, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's why you ask in the Son's name of the Father. That is why that, then what is it that, well, I can ask for anything then, a new car? How would that glorify God? You slipped a foreign subject in the scripture when you say that. How could that possibly glorify God? It means those things you need in your effort doing the Lord's work to glorify God. That's why in this generation especially that God puts together a many-membered body family, that we are able as a unit, and we are all equal in reward and so forth, that participate in seeing that His word, His truth, is taught. That advocate guarantees and sees that we have whatever we need to see that that work is accomplished, as long as that work glorifies God. Verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And naturally that means anything that glorifies God, not something that glorifies you. God doesn't use people that want to glorify themselves. I'd really like to make a name for myself. Well, forget it. We have a great name, Christian, Christ man. And we have one head, and he is that Christ. And through that advocate that wells us together and always has God's presence very near, whereby he could even say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, to stomp Satan's depression, anxieties, fears into the ground as far as you're concerned. And with the gospel armor on and in place, you become a mighty warrior for the living God. Anything negative should run when it sees you coming. That's why that Christians never have to worry about going anywhere as long as they use common sense. Satan's afraid of us because we have power over him through that name, in his name. And don't ever forget to use that name, or you leave all of your protection behind you and you're alone and you'll fall. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Well, all of them. Even those, if you have eyes to see, that were spoken in parables. His commandments of how you shouldn't be deceived. How that you would know his word. How can you obey or keep a command from the commanding general if you don't know what the commands are? You're handicapping yourself coming out the gate. If you don't know what it is you're supposed to obey and you drift around in the dark, and then you might wonder, well, I wonder why my faith isn't stronger. Well, it's pretty obvious that if you don't know what you're doing, naturally you should have little faith. Because one that doesn't know, and when you might say, well, I just have difficulty understanding. Well, ask him. He promised you. Ask me for understanding, and then you be sure and do the work involved therein and study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. What does rightly dividing mean? Well, rightly divide means if it's written to the tribe scattered abroad, that's who it's written to. If it reads if it is written to the last generation of the fig tree, then rightly divide it and apply that to it, so you understand what's happening, so you understand who he's talking to and what he's talking about, that you're able to follow a format and a subject and an object, whereby clarity comes into the word and your Father can touch you. With that understanding, then you can do his commandments. At least you know what they are, what you should do. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father. Remember, this is your advocate. This is his part, that I will intercede the Father, and he shall give you, listen to me, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long? How long? Forever. Now, do you know what this word comforter is? Do you know what the Greek word is? You should be familiar with it. Do you remember the Greek word that we checked out, advocate? Well, let's have the Greek word. You see, it's the same. The word advocate, as it is used in 1 John chapter, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is this same word that is translated comforter here. And it is parakletos. It's an intercessor, your counselor, your advocate, your comforter. He promises you, I will send him. And how long was he going to be around? Forever. That's wonderful, because we need him. We in the flesh are very weak. We in the flesh, though we have good intentions, many times we fall short. So this is your advocate. This is your comforter. This is your power. And when you ask it in his name, you're never alone. He's with us forever. And as long as you are working toward glorifying our Father, and why wouldn't you want to? You see, within this process, our Father has many children, and he even has children of another pasture, many pastures. And in exercise and fulfilling his commandment, those children are saved from the fires of hell. They are given quality life instead of heathenism of gunning each other down like animals or shooting each other up like rabbits back during the Depression days and acting like civilized human beings. That's what our Father does for us, is he brings his children home whereby life has a meaning and life is precious. Because he is the God of life, the God of the living. And he gives us that quality of life as the advocate comes forth. What a generation we live in at this time. I would think that people would not crawl back to the Word of God, seek the advocate in a slow manner, but would run at full gallop to grow near to that comforter who would be with them forever, to give them wisdom and knowledge that they could steer clear of anything that was offensive, or that is to say, that could harm Verse 17, as we continue. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, unfortunately many can't, won't. Because, here's the reason, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. They don't know the word, they're biblically illiterate. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you forever, beloved. Forever, your advocate, right with you. The Spirit of the God that controls all things in you. And you think he doesn't look over you. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you without an advocate. I will not leave you without your protector. I want you to absorb. I want you to absorb that thought. I will not leave you without Parakletos. You're going to have that advocate forever. Man is so weak. And if you do not have eyes that you can see that advocate that is with you and in you, and have the faith to know it's a reality, not a religion, a reality, then I can understand why you fear in this generation. But we don't have to fear, but rather revere, that is to say, love and glorify our Father. It's a beautiful time to live, because we can have that place of rest in him. Verse 18. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. That's the ways of the world. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. If you have the faith to know that inasmuch as he ascended and sent the Comforter, our advocate, and that advocate is with us today, he was yesterday, and he will be forever. He arranges things for us. 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and you are, and I in you. That lets you know who the advocate truly is, if you will read that closely, and then you can understand the offices of the Godhead. A different subject for a different time. 21. I will read it again for those that may not have open Bibles. At that day ye shall know that I am. That's the I am that I am. Iya Asha Iya, the sacred name. In my Father. And ye, that's you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Do you have his commandments? It's really important that you're not biblically illiterate, because if you are, you do not have his commandments. And there's no way you can keep them without knowing them. He it is that loveth me. He says you don't even love him if you don't. If you're biblically illiterate, you haven't loved him enough to read this letter that he has given you. Sad, really sad. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And he does. In and through that Comforter, as I say, you're beginning to understand who the Comforter is here. Let's continue right on. Verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not the betrayer, Lord, how is it, but the other Judas, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to do this? How are you going to work it? Are you going to be invisible, you might say? All right. Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, he will know his words, and my Father will love him, and we. What's the subject here? The Father and the Son. We will come unto Him and make our abode. This is the same word as mansion. Make our abode with Him. Your place of rest. I hope you can grasp that connection of mansioning or resting with God, in God, and He in you. And where these two are present, so is the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit. 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It's not my word. These things I've taught on earth, inasmuch as the Father is in Him and He is in the Father, and we both, the offices, have brought the word. 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. In other words, in my office as Son of Man, the only begotten Son, they weren't His words. Verse 26, listen carefully. But the Comforter, your Advocate, which is, you're going to find out right here, which is the Holy Pneuma, not ghost. There's no such word as ghost in the manuscripts. This is placed here by man. It's the Holy Pneuma, the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is the only place for you deeper scholars where the one name has two articles. Very unusual. It's done very few times in the scriptures. Whom the Father will send in my name. Whose name? Christ's name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. To your remembrance? Does that mean I knew them once? Well, whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, I hope you noted that it was His promise, His guarantee, that if you, that He would send the Comforter in Christ's name. Do you ask for the Comforter in the name of Christ? Do you understand? Think about it. That's the only name that will bring Him to you. I speak as the three. I speak as three offices. I speak as the Scriptures so delegate. Listen carefully. The world will never see what we're saying, but you understand. 27. Peace I leave with you. Should, that's that resting place. My peace I give unto you. Do you want it? Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be troubled. He, from the very throne of God, the Creator of all things, sends this peace to you. The world can't see it, but you can, because you have faith. You understand the commandments. You're familiar with His Word, and you love it. And you believe, and most of all, you know the key to the Scripture, the key of David that unlocks all doors that no man can close. And that truth comes to you. Verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Think about that. The full Godhead. 29. And now I have told you before it came to pass. That's what a prophet does. That makes it prophecy, to be told before the fact. That when it is come to pass, you might believe, that you can have faith in it. After the crucifixion, you will know that I have conquered death. In other words, 30. Hereafter, after this moment, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh, that's Satan, and hath nothing in me. I mean, we are not yoked we have no communion with each other whatsoever, which means you shouldn't either. Verse 31, and that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Do what? Give you commandment. I give them to you. I will be your advocate. I will be your protector. I will be your intercessor. I will take care of you. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Don't be troubled. Live in peace. Why shouldn't we? He that is in control of all things watches over us. Do you believe it? You can. Well, somebody might say, well, but when I begin to believe that way and I get in trouble, I get a little shaky. That's the time you can really be strong, because that's when he's taken over. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes being in a little trouble strengthens us. Because when we're in that trouble, we know how to tell people to avoid the quicksand. We can put up a signboard, avoid the quicksand. Avoid this trouble. This is what will happen to you. I truly believe there are cases of this. Now, our advocate is the Holy Spirit. Our advocate is with God and in us forever, and we are never alone. Do you believe that? If you do, you're a Christian. If you don't, I'm sorry, you're playing Christian. Grow close to his commandments, for his word is so real. He is that word. To grow close to the word is to grow close to him. And to do his commandments. And please, please never forget, when you ask for the nearest of that advocate, you must ask in his name, our Lord's name. Why? Because it gives credentials that you're a believer. If you didn't believe in Christ, you certainly wouldn't ask in his name. You might ask in Joe Blow's name. All right? It gives credentials that you do believe, as though he wouldn't know anyway. You can't con God. Our advocate, you have one, beloved. He's so powerful, so loving, so understanding, so patient, even when we fall short. Don't forget to use that advocate. It's for your comfort, for your peace. And the conveyor that actually joins your love to the Father's, in turn, that communication, that family communication that is so very, very precious. All right, advocate, don't forget him. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please? The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing us, guiding us, going into the depth, if you would, in that second book, into the three earth ages, giving the most accurate recorded account of the events that transpire and document that there are three earth ages, that there was one before this one, and one to come. Peter, the great fisherman, which in his gentleness and his kindness brings us two books, the books of Peter, that lead, guide, direct, even in your daily life, that teach and show you how to be happy, how to find that peace of mind, and to know yourself. The books of Peter, I know you're going to enjoy them. Okay, there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, if we may, 1-800-643-4645. And that number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. And I hope we still have one Canada. But be that as it may, the number is good whether we do or not, even in Quebec, all right? So we love you all, our neighbors, and we hope that United we stand, and sometimes divided we fall. And I pray that common sense prevails and that the love of that great nation, so be that as it may. If you have a question, then please feel free to call that number and share that question. We can no longer answer all questions, but we'll take a handful, and who knows, yours may be there. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world at this time, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Got a prayer request? He's your father, the nearest of kin. And you have that prayer line right through the pneuma, the spirit, as though you were wired in with 440. That's twice 220, all right? I mean, that's about as close as you can get without really being explosive, all right? And that could be, well, be that as it may, you're hooked, all right, into him because he's in you. Got it? Your advocate. Talk to him. Father, around the globe we come. We love you, Father. Thank you for the advocate. Thank you for sending him. Guide, watch over, prosper, heal in Yahshua's precious name. Amen. All right, let's see about some questions here. We're going to go to Scott from Illinois. Will God forgive me for what I have done to abuse my body? I've got liver problems. Well, of course he will. God gives us the health laws not to save our soul, but to keep us healthy. And naturally, he would forgive us for that. I want to say something. After having taught on capital punishment and many other things, many people are all uptight about what God forgives for. Understand this. There's only one unforgivable sin. Murder is forgivable, but it's got to be done by the Father at the gate of the Father. All right. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm teaching. Some never see the depth. And all these other problems, I don't care what your sin is, God will forgive you. You have that hope. I don't care how bad you think the sin was. And again, many times sins committed in ignorance are not sins. They're not chargeable to the Christian before the fact. Understand what I'm saying? So you rejoice because he paid the price to forgive your sins and cleanse you. And even in the murderer's case, he's only in danger of judgment. But it is not stated that he won't make it. On repentance and being real honest for a change with himself and with God and with his victims. But don't be all uptight. The only unforgivable sin is for one that has the truth beyond any shadow of a doubt, knows who the spurious Messiah is, and then disallows the Holy Spirit, our advocate, to speak through us. That's unforgivable. That's the only unforgivable. It's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit not to let the Holy Spirit speak through us. That is nailed down in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Okay, Walter from New York. Is the earth Satan's domain? I know that he was cast out of heaven, and he influences a lot of people. Well, he hasn't been cast out of heaven yet. God only allows him to have dominion in this earth. God's in control, but God does allow him if you let him. God allows him, but he gave us power over him. That's why he goes around us with a wide path. But his spirit, his evil spirits are around, and but we have power over them. Does he influence a lot of people? You bet he does. Okay, listen to tonight's or tomorrow's news and see what you hear. Every day is what I'm saying. Earl, what does Yahweh and Yahshua mean? Please explain. Okay. Yahweh is the name that our father told Moses when Moses said, who am I going, when he was given the commandments, who am I going to say sent these, sent me? And he said, I am that I am. Which is to say, in the Hebrew tongue, I am that I am. And that's the etymology of the sacred name Yahweh. That's what it means. Now, Yahshua is to say Yahweh's Hosea, Yahweh's Savior. In other words, it's both names in one, for they are two in one, as we covered in that 14th chapter today. God's word is so simple. His name is so simple. And, of course, where those two dwell, so does the Holy Spirit. Some people will say, well, what name will I be baptized in? And they show their ignorance of the language. Because Yeshua is both names. All right? Jack from Oklahoma, would you please explain? I'm sorry. Those of you that do not understand the Hebrew word, when you say Jesus, it is both names. All right? Now, or you can use all three. You should. That's what Jesus said to use. Jack from Oklahoma, would you please explain John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29? I'm having some difficulty understanding this. I love you very much. Well, no, think about what Christ did while he was in the tomb. And you'll understand the 28th and the 29th verse. What did he say he would do? Peter lets us know in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ went back to the dead all the way to the time of Noah, which means the beginning. And he gave them the gospel and gave them the privilege. Of course, they were in paradise, but they had fallen short. God would have been very unfair not to have offered them the plan of salvation as he does us today. It was given to them. And he set them free. You can read that again in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Carry on, it's carried on into the fourth chapter, how he let the prisoners go. And then in the next verse, it says some of these are going to come out of the grave. That was a one-time thing to illustrate that he had been there. And it was to illustrate that Christ had defeated death. Why? Because of the unbelief in this world. If those miracles had not happened, do you think that just on his word, those that had not seen would believe? Of course not. But they saw those spirits come out of those graves and they're transfigured in their spiritual bodies. The flesh didn't come out. He defeated death. And it was a one-time thing. So be it. I'm sure you can understand it. Sally from Colorado. In Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 4, and Revelation 19, are these the same birds that eat the flesh? Why would there still be flesh to be buried if Christ has come and have been changed into a spiritual body? Please explain. Thank you. Well, many times figures of speech are utilized, actually the Revelation chapters begin in chapter 40 in Ezekiel, and when the day of Armageddon comes, there we separate from this flesh instantly. Dimensions are involved within that, and you ask a very large question to be explained. I think it is probably explained best in Zechariah chapter 14 when it tells you what happens to the flesh at the return. It's a little gross, but it will tell you. Zechariah 14. Not by birds so much. Okay, Doris from California. I agree with God's word concerning capital punishment. Well, I hope that everyone agrees with God's word, because that's how it's going to be, all right? But how does this pertain to wartime? My husband was in Vietnam and had to kill in the line of duty. Is this considered murder? No way. Murder is criminal homicide, my dear. Get your Webster's Dictionary and look up the word murder, all right? It's where you have to plan to take the life of someone. A killing in wartime is self-defense against an enemy. In this particular case, in Korea and Vietnam, which we broke the back of communism. It was a wonderful thing that we accomplished. I know the socialists today still cry and moan and groan, even in our own Congress, about it. But we defeated communism. And socialism is out. We broke its back. And that was in the service of Almighty God. So, no, murder is to lie in wait and for no reason take an innocent life, okay? I think this is the one thing that's holding him back from God because he thinks he's guilty. He is as innocent as a newborn babe, all right? It is, God has always instructed his soldiers to totally annihilate the enemy, all right? And that's difficult for some people to understand, but you tell him that I salute him, that having fought in Korea, that we can claim the right, that we defeated communism, we broke its back and it died. Well, it's not dead, it may rear its head occasionally, but we can still handle it. But he should stand tall and be proud, and God is proud of him. Okay, Kim from Florida. If someone breaks into my home and is trying to kill me, but I kill them instead, will I go to hell? No. That's self-defense. And I hope you heard the message on capital punishment. The word should not read, kill, thou shalt not kill. It is, thou shalt do no murder. And there's a great deal of difference in murdering and killing. You have every God-given right to protect yourself if you know what you're doing in your own home. And if someone is breaking in with intentions to kill you, then tell him to have a nice trip, that you're sending him to the Father, all right? Don't tell him anything. You do what you have to do, okay? Jan from the Virgin Islands, and how are you way down south of in the Caribbean area? Can someone of a mixed people be one of the elect? She is a very faithful listener. Well, of course, everyone has their own people. And as you will read and document, and I know the word Mamzar frightens many people, but even that is a nation. Check it out in Revelation chapter 21, which is we're already in the eternity. And you have the nations coming to Jerusalem, coming to God. And they have their kings and queens before them. And certainly it is considered election. Okay, you know, Emily from North Carolina, is there anywhere in the Bible that it says if you love life, you will lose it? No, you're quoting where Christ would say, if you love your life in the world, that means doing worldly things. You can lose your heavenly life. Why? Because you ain't going to be there. Now, and let me say that in a little different way. If we were to listen to flesh and not the inner man, the spirit that makes contact with God, and we did whatever our flesh wanted us to do, then we would lose our eternal soul, our life, eternal life, because we'd probably go to hell, all right? It's that simple. That's what it means. Edwin from Chicago, can you explain 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire? Well, read a few verses before that. The deeds that we do are related to, what is it, gold and silver and brass and wood, and then comes straw. In other words, if we do a deed for God to glorify him that's straw, we didn't do much. And what happens when fire hits straw? That's what you're going to have left on judgment. If you do a deed that is the equivalent of gold, what happens to gold when fire hits it? It brightens it, and so forth. It simply means that one way for you to understand, and it's just a metaphor, which means your deeds are going to be tested. You'll end up being saved, but you might be naked as a jaybird when you get there. All right, it may all burn up, and you won't have any works to show. And works is the only thing you can take with you. Documentation, Revelation 14. Jury from Illinois. What tape do you have on slaves? You mentioned it when you were teaching Philemon. Well, it's in that is it. Philemon was a slave, and I think it gives an excellent example of Paul. And you see, they were sometimes men think of slaves; they think of ethnic peoples, but all peoples have been slaves down through the years. As a matter of fact, you can document that by going into the law that Israel enslaved some of its own people, that they had to free them after 7 years and so forth. But Philemon is an excellent slave story. Okay, hey, I'm out of time again. I love you all a bunch. Your father loves you. We have that advocate. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. He loves you, and he wants you to love him in return. And don't forget, in Christ's name, many blessings flow to you. Don't forget that. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. Bless God, no one. He'll always bless you. But this is what's important. You stay in his word every day, and his word is a good day. Do you know why? Yeshua, Jesus, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. You have been viewing the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you are interested in obtaining more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer includes the Mark of the Beast audio tape, a newsletter with a written Bible study, a complete audio tape catalog, and a list of reference materials available through Shepherd's Chapel. You may request our free introductory offer by telephone. Call 1-800-643-4645, 24 hours a day to request the offer. You may also request by writing Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. That's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us and serious Bible students around the world for our next in-depth Bible study, Monday through Friday at the same time. Thank you for watching, and God bless you.
The book of Peter. Here we have two books, first and second.